This morning, the title of the lesson is Crowns of a Christian. You know, it can be encouraging, upbuilding, and even a thrill to think of our eternal reward. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be," reads Revelation 22:12. In Scripture, some rewards for Christians are referred to as a crown. In the lesson this morning, we'll notice that there is a crown of rejoicing or exultation, a crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of glory. And for some, there will be an imperishable crown, the Bible says. For the salvation of some, Paul would allow his rights forfeited for others. He said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Like a runner, we need to absolutely have our eyes fixed on the goal. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all," and that is, run with their all is the idea. "But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Christians need to have the determination of a runner. According to Paul's analogy, we should also have the aim of a boxer. He said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians 9:26-27. God is not making any one of us successful or great. He wants to reproduce in us the character of Christ. His love, His kindness, His compassion, His holiness, His humility, His unselfishness, His servant spirit, His willingness to suffer wrongfully, and His willingness to forgive. God desires that we challenge one another in our race toward the imperishable crown. The Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend," reads Proverbs 27:17. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted," Galatians 6:1. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching," reads Hebrews 10:23-25. "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much," or accomplishes much, James 5:16. The Bible says there will be a crown of rejoicing or exultation. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved," Paul said in Philippians 4:1. Those at Philippi were Paul's joy and crown because they had increased spiritually, which was planted through Paul's preaching. In Acts 8, we have 6 guidelines for teaching the truth to others, such as obedience. The Bible says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8 and verse 12. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Acts 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place, when he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Guidelines for teaching the truth to others. Availability. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Acts 8, 27 through 29. Another guideline for teaching the truth to others is having a proper approach. Acts 8 and verse 30 reads, And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? A guideline for teaching the truth to others is courtesy through the respectfully waited for invitation. And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Reads Acts 31, Acts 8, verse 31. By listening to him, Philip knew where to begin his presentation or his teaching. Guidelines for teaching the truth to others begin where the person is. The place of the scripture which he read was this, the Bible says. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Acts 8, 32 through 34. If we want to teach the truth to others, we'll need to focus on Christ and not controversy. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 8, 35 through 39. To teach, one doesn't have to stand on the corner and yell. Just be natural, caring, tactful, honest, and watch for opportunities. The teaching opportunities with those at Thessalonica had produced a crown of rejoicing indeed. Paul said, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Read 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 through 20. We are considering a lesson entitled Crowns of a Christian. For the faithful, there will be a crown of righteousness, which is the reward for living a righteous life and eagerly awaiting the return of Christ. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For Paul, death's shadow lengthened over him, and likely in a lonely prison cell. Because physical death is near for any one of us, we should be aware of evil forces that influence some to depart from the faith and thereby missing the crown of righteousness by giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." 1 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. We should long for the crown that awaits, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Titus 2 and verse 13. For the faithful, there will be a crown of life for those who endure until the end. Matthew 24, 13. The crown of life is the reward for those enduring trials and suffering while still remaining faithful unto God. The Bible says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelations 2 and verse 10. For certain Christians will encounter various trials to joy. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Christians must endure through trials unto spiritual maturity. James said, "Let patience," or steadfastness, "have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." James 1 and verse 4. Christians can persevere unto trials unto a crown of life. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." James 1 and verse 12. "Call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Partly being made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly becoming partakers with them that were so used. For ye both had compassion on them that were in bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and an abiding one. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrink back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 39. The Bible says for some there will be a crown of glory. The Bible says, the elders therefore among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Tend the flock of God, which is among you, exercising the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The crown of glory spoken of in 1 Peter 5, 4 seems to be unique to those serving as elders or spiritual shepherds. It signifies honor and recognition for those who have been good stewards of the church in their leadership role. This is a type of glory, or there is a type of glory for all saints as we pass through death's shadow into heaven's splendor and see our Lord face to face. Christians are to abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 2, 28 verse through chapter 3, verse 2. Those serving may not always feel appreciated, so we should acknowledge them or give recognition. Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have set themselves to minister unto the saints, that you also be in subjection unto such, and to everyone that helpeth in the work and laboreth." Paul goes on to say, "And I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas, and Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Acknowledge ye therefore them that are such. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Reads 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. In closing, for the faithful, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is, if we die in the flesh, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. No deed worthy of a reward will be overlooked or ignored by the Lord's faithful, loving eyes. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister, Hebrews 6 and verse 10. The many crowns of God, Revelations 19:12, are celestial, not man-made, eternal, not fading away. The heart of Moses, likewise, was in heavenly home, not earthly palace. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Reads Hebrews 11:24-26. Our loving Redeemer endured a crown of thorns with much suffering for us. Mark 15:16-20. How can we thank him enough? Our only fitting response is to worship him that liveth forever and ever. And like the 24 elders who cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelations 4 and verse 11. Truly worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelations 5 and verse 12. The eternal crown can be ours. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign life by one, Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 17. Who hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Blessed is yours if you have a spiritual need. The Lord invites you and we wait to assist you. Please come believing, repenting, confessing, and be baptized into Christ, where all spiritual blessings exist, while together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, we will sit at his feet. we fear only trust.